Heavenly Father, we pray that you administer to every heart in this place today. Father, I thank you that words that will be said, that will lift up. I thank you, Father, you give us the words to say that will edify, that will glorify you. Thank you, Father, that as we hear the word today, we respond to the word and receive. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to share some things today that I think that we all need to hear again and again and again. You might actually call it a message on faith, back to the basics. You know, many people say, well, people teach on faith all the time. Well, let me tell you what. We need to rehear some things sometimes. As I was getting ready for this message, I was reminded of what I've read many times, what Peter said in 2 Peter 1:12. For this reason, I will not be neglected to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, or as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by reminding you. That's the King James Version. The New Living sort of says it like this. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them, are standing firm in the truth you've been taught. And it is only right that I should keep reminding you as long as I live. My dad used to say, you can't teach too much on faith. Hello. Now, why are some people not receiving even though they're Christians? Well, they've never been taught how to use their faith. Although they've received Christ, they've never been taught how to receive their faith, how to receive by faith. And then some people, even though they start out, but then somebody gets a hold of them with the teaching, well, you know, God is sovereign, so he'll do what he wants to do. And this gives them the idea that you can't do anything about it anyway, so it's all up to God. And that teaching seems to wane and then it resurfaces. I've been around long enough that I've seen it come and go several times, and it'll probably come back around again. The devil don't have anything new. He just sort of wraps it up in a little bit of different package, but it's the same old thing. Trying to destroy people's faith in God and receiving what God wants them to do. And I've said it many times. You ask my dad a question about something, and he says, what does the word say? I've heard him say it thousands of times. You know, some people got the idea that God is arbitrarily just picking and choosing, but that's not God. He is not arbitrarily picking and choosing this one for his blessings. God has given us the written word, and every one of us can receive if we come according to what the word of God has to say. It's not up to God, it's up to us. But, you know, you have to get over some of people. I get so tired of people giving a reason all the time why God's blessings can't be received, when he instructed us right here in his word how to receive everything that God said belongs to us. Everything. You know, we're instructed by faith to live by faith. That's to believe God. You know, in James 1:5, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man or person, unstable in all his ways. Now, the word double-minded there, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, that double-minded means to be two-souled or to have two minds. Excuse me. A double-minded person won't get anything. James says that a double-minded person is like the sea, the wind, the sea, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's what a double-minded person does. They vacillate back and forth. One day you see them, oh, I'm believing God, praise God, hallelujah. Next day you see them, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's a double-minded person. One day they're believing God, the next day they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. You know, James here, if you study this a little bit, you find out, you study that first chapter, that a double-minded person has forgotten that God is a generous giver. A double-minded person has quit believing the promises of God, and they're tossed back and forth. He goes on to say that they're unstable in their faith. He goes on to say that for them not to think that they're going to get anything from God. Now, Paul talks about a double-minded person in Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about on every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now I want to read that from the New Living Translation. That's New King James. New Living says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. You know, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of it anymore, but because I get disgusted at what people are saying watching some of the Christian television. I mean, any of you ever noticed that when you get through listening, if you're not stable in the Word of God, you don't know what to believe. Anybody ever notice that but me? And, you know, I get so... let me go back here. Back a few years back in the late 70s, 80s, man, there on the Christian television, there was everything under the sun, and there was some new doctrine being espoused every week by somebody. Anybody remember that? Huh? Hey, you know, you have to be stable, and you can't just keep... You can't, you know, go with this new doctrine or that new doctrine. Here it says here, by every wind of every new teaching that comes along. The Apostle Paul said that if he or somebody else come teaching something besides what he taught, count it a curse. Let it go. Back in the 70s, a man by the Dr. Harold, he was a history professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. He did a book called All Things Are Possible about the charismatics because he said nobody was doing their history. Anybody ever read that book or seen that book? I know we used to have it. And he had everybody in there. And the one thing he said about Dad, he said, this man is stable in his teaching. He started teaching this same truth when he was raised off of bed affliction in 1933, and he's still teaching the same truth today. He doesn't vacillate. He stays the same. And that's what we have to do with the Word of God. We've got to stay with the Word, and we can't be this way today and this way tomorrow and expect to receive anything. You know, you may be bombarded with teachings that contradict the Word of God. Hey, let it go. if it contradicts the word, I don't care who said it. You know, and don't go chasing after the newest doctrine that come down the pike. Some people fall prey to some of this stuff, and then they're unsure of the word of God. You know, a double-minded person is sort of like the little boy woke up and the fan was on fire. And he was upstairs, so he jumped out of bed and said, "Oh, I got to get the fire out." So he started to go put the fire out. Then he thought, "No, I need to go tell Dad." So then he started for the stairs. He said, "No, I got to put the fire out." He goes back to the fire. Then he says, "No, I better tell Dad." 5 minutes later, the fire's still going, and he still hadn't put the fire out or told Dad. See, that's what a person that's double-minded does. They're unstable. They don't know which way to go. They're here, they're there, they're here, they're there, they're here, they're there. Have you ever seen some Christians like that? If you will listen to them a few minutes, you'll find out that instead of staying with the truth of God's word, they're listening to what this person had to say, and then this person over here had this to say, and this person had this to say, and this person had this to say, and this one had this to say, and now they're confused and they don't know what they believe. Now sit there and look at me like that if you want to. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen people like that? Maybe you're sitting where that person that's like that is sitting. Some of you got it. Some of you went, phew. Maybe you have been like that at one time. Thank God you're not now. You're anchored in the Word. You see, you have to be anchored in the Word. A double-minded person gets driven like the seas of, you know, man, you put an anchor down on the boat. I don't care what the wind does or the waves does. That anchor holds that boat in position. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's why we have to know the Word of God. We got to know what the Bible says. We got to believe what the Bible says. We got to act like what the Bible said is so and receive all the blessings that God said belongs to us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I realize most of you that are listening to me, you know all of this stuff. But like Peter, told his people, I'm telling you, you need to be constantly reminded of it. Unless you're constantly reminded of it, you will tend to let it slip away. You know, husbands, we get reminded of stuff all the time by our wife because they know that we will forget it if they don't keep reminding us. Anybody willing to admit that? I see some of you going half staff. And I see some wives holding their husband's hands up. How many wives continue to remind your husband of something all the time? Why? Miss Lynette got both hands up. Actually, according to one of the Bible study series, it says that a double-minded person is a man that has two minds on the inside of him. One believes, the other disbelieves, and he is walking in a war all the time. Trust and distrust is continually waging in him or in that person. Have you ever heard the statement, they just can't make up their mind? Have you ever said that about somebody? Well, I wonder if the Lord's saying that about some of us sometimes. Come on now. There, if you continue to read there in that first chapter of James, he says in that seventh verse, if you're like this, that we've been talking about, this double mind, don't think you're going to get anything. It's what he said there in 1:7. We'll not receive anything from the Lord, it says, but we need to just say, well, you know, you're not going to get nothing. Now, actually, God has promised to give each person that asks in faith whatever they ask for. But ask in faith. That word faith there in James 1:6 means persuasion, conviction, belief, assurance, according to Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary. And of course, now we're going to go to Hebrews 11:1. You know where it is. I told you this was going to be teaching you the basics. The basics you start with in faith is, now faith is. Now faith is. Not going to be, hoping to be, want to be, now faith is. Present. Right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's the New King James. The Amplified says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith, then, is the assurance of things that we hope for will come to pass. You know, when a person is convinced, I mean fully persuaded and fully convinced of something, you can't beat it out of them. You have to be fully convinced that God is able to do what you're asking for, and that he is willing to give you what you're asking for. And you find that out by knowing what the Word of God has to say. You know, not what somebody told you it says, what you yourself have read. That's why it's so important. That's why I keep talking all the time about you need to read the Word for yourself every day. A faith person stands firm all the time, does not vacillate back and forth. They are firm. They stay focused. How many of you have been driving a car and either you begin to change radio stations, or you see something outside and you lose your focus on keeping the car in the lane? Anybody ever been there? When you lose focus, you drift off. I don't know, several years ago, I like NASCAR, I like racing, all of you know that. And this guy was leading the race, had five or six second lead on the guy that was in second place. So that means he was going into the corner down here, and this guy just coming out of the corner straightaway. But anyway, he wrecked. And you know, they asked him in the interview, they said, what in the world happened? He said, I was so far out in front and there was nobody challenging me. I lost my focus going into the corner and I missed the mark of where I needed to let off the gas and go around the corner. And so he hit the wall. He lost his focus. He lost the race because he lost his focus. You've heard me tell how that when I was running track, I was in junior in high school, and they had a, they used to, oh, they got the timers now, but used to they had to have, they had a string across the, or some ribbon or something across the track. Anybody run track when they did that? And it usually hit you about here. Well, it hit the guy there and it hit me here. I was coming down the straightaway. We come off the corner running the 220 yard dash. Now they call it the 200 meter race. And we come off that corner and I'm coming down the straightaway. It's an 8-lane track. I'm in the outside lane. And I'm coming down in front of the grandstands. And I can't, usually you can, people that run track know what I'm talking about, especially sprinters. You can hear the people behind you or to the side of you. You can hear them running. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You sprinters, any sprinters know what I'm talking about? And I couldn't hear nothing. And the cardinal rule in run and track is you keep your focus on the finish line. You're not concerned about what's behind you or on each side of you. Your focus is on that finish line. Well, I'm running down through there in front of the grandstands, and I'm right up next to them over here. And my mind's saying, you didn't hear it, but that starter fired a second shot. It's a false start. You're out here running down here by yourself and looking like a fool. Well, I tried to keep my mind quiet and keep my focus. Finally, I stole a glance like this. I'm running. You cannot keep your full speed and turn and look this way. You got to keep your focus out there. And it was me and the guy in the first lane. We had outdistanced everybody else by about 5 yards. And he, when I turned and looked, he was right there, just a step behind me. But I lost that one step, and I lost that race. I was in front. I lost it by 1/100th of a second because I lost my focus, because my mind began to talk to me and tell me things. You lose your focus on the Word of God many times because the enemy begins to speak to your mind and tell you different things, and it causes you to lose your focus. You got to stay focused on the Word no matter what you hear, feel, or see. My dad used to say that all the time. A person of faith is not moved by anything they feel, see, or hear. They're only moved by what the Word of God says. You know, persuaded. That's one of the words, persuaded, that we use. That if you're a person of faith, persuaded. It says that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. You, in order to not be double-minded, you have to be fully persuaded that God is able to do what he says right here in this word. How many of you got your Bible or got it on the text or a tablet there with you? Hold it up. Now look at it. Are you persuaded? Are you fully persuaded that what he says in this word will come to pass in your life? If you're fully persuaded, you will live like it and act like it. Hallelujah. Say it, hold it up and say, I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded. Do you really believe it?
Yes.
I'm fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
You know what? I don't know whether y'all realize that as you started saying that, as you said it over and over again, I don't know whether you realize that, you got louder and louder and louder. Did anybody realize that besides me? Why? Because when you really believe something, you will shout it from the housetop. You can't make you be quiet. Now, don't entertain any thought that is contrary to the Word of God. My dad used to say, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you sure can keep it from building a nest in your hair. Anybody ever heard him say that? If you've heard him say it. He said it a lot. But what I'm trying to say is this, that you can't keep the enemy from bringing thoughts out here. He's going to bring them to your mind. That's when you have to have the Word on the inside of you that rises up and comes out of you and says, contrary to what he is saying to your mind. Come on. Oh, he's going to say, how are you going to make it? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's how I'm going to make it. See, you got to have the Word in you, so immediately faith rises, comes up and begins to take hold of the situation. You know, if you really believe something, you talk about it. Come on now. If you're really assured of the promises of God, then you'll begin to thank God for them continually. See, we need to understand that God is the original giver. It's his nature to give. He wants to give to us. He demonstrated the greatest one of a giver when he gave his son, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If you study the Word of God, he is always wanting to give to those that believe him and walk with him. I just want to stir up your pure minds again about things you already know. And I can see that some of you, I remember this. I remember that. That's good. That's what I want you to do. I want you to start remembering how you used your faith and overcome every obstacle. And that helps you to realize that you can do it tomorrow. If you did it yesterday, you can do it tomorrow. If you did it yesterday, you can do it today. If you did it last year, you can overcome this year by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, by faith. It's all by faith. Amen. You know, he's a giver. You know, Matthew 7:11, this is demonstrated. Then if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? You know, New Living says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. I like the New Living. It says, since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Oh, I like that. See, somebody said it. I don't know who said it. It's unknown. God gave us his son, his very best. Now God wants to give us all the rest. Amen. James 1:5 says, God who gives generously. What does that mean? Bountifully, liberally. More than enough. Amen. And that's part of one of the names of God himself, El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, right? God wants to give to you generously. Say it with me. God wants to give to me generously. Everything that the Word says belongs to me. He wants me to have it. And I get it. By faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. You know what? The Bible says that he never changes. He says he never changes. So if he gave good gifts during Bible days to his children, he wants to give good gifts to us today. In fact, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, to whom there's no variation. No variation. Same all the time. Variation means it's the same. No variation. Our shadow of turning. New Living says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. The voice says, every good gift bestowed, every perfect gift received comes to us from above, courtesy of the Father of lights. He is consistent. He won't change his mind or play tricks in the shadows. God has gifts that are perfect, that are without flaw, that are without defect. He never changes, and he wants to give them to us. When you are ready to receive, he's ready to give. Did you know you can't give something to somebody if they won't receive it? I don't know. Sometime, I don't know, been a while back, Nanette and I were somewhere, and we wanted to give somebody a monetary gift, and she took it out and tried to hand it to them. They wouldn't take it, so she just let it fall to the ground. Remember that? You can't give something to somebody who won't take it. Last night, Fergie, our Lynette, our standard poodle, she always wants, if you're eating something, she wants some of it. So Lynette had made her a half a peanut butter sandwich, so she made another half for Fergie. She tried to, she said, here, Fergie, and Fergie smelled of it and turned up his nose and walked away. You couldn't give it to her if she wouldn't take it. Hello? God wants to give us stuff, but so many times we're not in the frame of mind to receive it. He can't give it to you unless you understand how to receive. You got to understand how to receive. How do you receive? By exercising your faith. You know, the Word of God is there for you today. I've simply reminded you of things that you've known and studied. But remember, the enemy comes at you all the time in different ways, and you have to have the Word of God and stand against him. God always rewards those that stand in faith, believing him. If you walk by faith instead of looking at everything else, and if you'll become single-minded, all the promises will come into fruition in your life, and you'll see the hand of God begin to move. As you believe, you'll begin to receive that you're believing for. that you're asking for. I'm ready to give. It's up to you whether you get it or not. Not up to me. I've already purchased it. I've already put it under the Christmas tree. So all you have to do is take the package, open it up, and receive all that I have for you. And what a rejoicing that will be. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, hallelujah. I didn't know how to say it any other way than this. I knew you'd get a hold of Christmas tree. As he was talking to me there, he said, I've already given the gift. And so I said, well, hey, they will understand that. If I say Christmas tree, they'll understand gift. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Anybody get out of there, anything out of this today? I know it's a refresher course, but you need a refresher course. Ever so often, anyway. Some of you in your profession, if you're going to continue in that profession, you have to go and take refresher courses. Well, if you have to do that in the natural, I guarantee you, you have to do it in the spiritual. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, raise your hands and thank God. By faith that you can receive everything that God said belongs to you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you happen to be know what it is to serve Him, but you're just not exactly in the place you should be with Him and you need a rededication, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now. Anywhere in this place, there's a hand back there. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Another hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Upstairs, downstairs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We also believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here, according to what the Bible says, not what some church says. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today, let me see your hand anywhere. We want to pray with you. Anybody, anywhere. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I know there's two hands, I believe, that have been raised, maybe more. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand on any invitation, I want to ask you to do one more thing so I can pray with you. I want to ask you to come right down here to the front so I can pray with you like I said I wanted to. So come on right now. If you raised your hand, come on. There you go. There comes a young man right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else? If you're upstairs, the ushers will help you get down there. Anybody raise your hand? Should have raised your hand. Wanted to raise your hand. Come on right now. Come on right now. This is your opportunity to change your life forever. Come on. I believe there was another hand raised. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to come? Come on. There's one coming. Hallelujah. You're never too old. You're never too young. This is Communion Sunday. We have our children in here with us. Here comes dad with a child. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come right on. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Hallelujah. Greg, come on over here. You there to come. I'm going to pray with you right here. But you see, Greg right there, after we pray, I want you to go with him to a special place of prayer where you'll be prayed with individually and in depth. You're going to get some literature and some things to talk to. All right? Reach your hands out toward them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their lives will be met today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would y'all just go with him to that place right now? Let's go right ahead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, this is Communion Sunday, which we